This is Dr. Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Listen to these symptoms and see if any of them describe you. Mood swings, brain fog, feeling depressed, unable to lose weight, digestive issues, insomnia, anxiety, or hair loss. These could all be stemming from a thyroid issue. Author of The Thyroid Connection is here to share how to get your life back. And that starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest specializes in functional medicine and is the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Autoimmune Solution. Her latest book is called The Thyroid Connection, Why You Feel Tired, Brain Fogged, and Overweight, and How to Get Your Life Back. Welcome to the show, Dr. Amy Myers.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's so great to have you on the show. Now, before we talk about the proactive ways we can address thyroid issues, first, share with the listeners, what does the thyroid gland do?
Well, the thyroid gland, we like to think of it as our master kind of metabolism gland. So I myself had an overactive thyroid when I was in medical school. So I write about that in the first chapter of the book. Most people are more probably familiar with an underactive thyroid. So the symptoms I was having when things were overactive for me is, well, first of all, there are thyroid receptors on every organ in our body. And so literally from head to toe, you can have symptoms when your thyroid is not running optimally. So for me, things were, everything was revved up. So I was having anxiety, even panic attacks. I was losing weight without trying. I was having difficulty sleeping and insomnia. I even eventually had a tremor, and I was having muscle weakness that my legs would shake when I would go down the stairs. So other signs that people can have are increased digestion, such as diarrhea. They can have increased reflexes. Sometimes if it's so bad and autoimmune, they can even have their eyes start to bulge out. Thankfully, I didn't have that. An underactive thyroid, everything slows down. So it's typically a lot of the opposite kind of symptoms, maybe depression instead of anxiety. They have slow mentation. They gain weight. They feel cold. They're tired. Their hair falls out. Of course, with either of these, if it's a woman, they can have infertility or problems with their menstrual cycle. Men can have low libido and constipation. So, and of course, the signs and symptoms can cross over between the two, and we can, of course, get into why conventional medicine really fails to diagnose thyroid in many, many people. There are 27 million Americans estimated to have it, and nearly 60% don't even know they do. So there's a large number of people walking around with true overt thyroid dysfunction that, you know, are not getting diagnosed, and that's because these symptoms can be all over the place. They can often be thought of as explained away by something else. And a lot of people have crossover symptoms. So, you know, they don't have, you know, they might feel tired and overweight, but then have anxiety and insomnia. And so the doctor might not be thinking, oh, classically hypothyroid, because they kind of have signs of both. So then they don't think about the thyroid.
I know these symptoms, as you're saying them, it pretty much describes a majority of listeners. How can people know if their thyroid is to blame? Because those could be other reasons for those. Brain fog, depression. How do people know if it is or it is not from thyroid?
Well, there's a very easy, there's blood tests that your doctor can do. I mean, it's not one of these things like irritable bowel or chronic fatigue that can be kind of what we call in medicine a diagnosis of an exclusion, meaning we've looked everywhere and we don't know what else it is. You know, anxiety, irritable bowel, these things are like, we don't have another explanation, so we're diagnosing it as this. With thyroid, it's a very easy blood test that can be done by any doctor, and it can be, you know, picked up. The problem with that is, that I talk all about in the book, is that, you know, first, as we've mentioned, because the symptoms are vague and they can be all over the place, a lot of doctors just don't check. Then when they do check, they're often checking something just called a TSH, which is called a thyroid stimulating hormone. And that really tells us about the pituitary and what it's signaling to the thyroid to do. It's not really telling us what the thyroid's doing. And then they're using what many of us consider to be outdated reference ranges. You know, when they were coming up, anytime a new blood test or test comes on the market, they have to have what's called a reference range, what, you know, what normal range is, the low end and the high end. And when they were coming up with this, They got a bunch of people together and took their blood and came up with a range. They later realized most or many of those people actually had thyroid dysfunction or hypothyroid. So even the Academy of Endocrinology for years has been saying we need to narrow this range. It's way too broad. We're missing a lot of people. And then as I talk about in the thyroid connection, there's a lot of other tests that I do that, again, are simple blood tests done by any lab, looking at a free T4, a free T3, a reverse T3, and then thyroid antibodies in order to really get a complete picture of the thyroid. So conventional medicine frequently isn't testing. When they do test, they're doing only one test instead of the six that I mentioned, and then they're looking at it in an antiquated reference range rather than an optimal reference range, like I suggest in the book.
So a patient could go to a doctor, gets the test, and the doctor will look the person in the eye and say, your thyroid's normal, and it may not be, and it may not be.
Yes.
And now they chase the symptoms elsewhere, and they totally say, hey, my thyroid's normal, I'm not even considering that anymore.
Absolutely. So, I mean, my book is really for everybody who already knows they have thyroid dysfunction in order to make sure they're getting the right treatment, the right dose, finding the root cause. But it's also for all those, you know, that 60% of that 27 million Americans that don't know that they have it and have been told by their doctor their labs are normal. So I always tell people, get a copy of your labs, take a look. Did they just do a TSH? If they did, you know, where do you fall? I give you the exact test that I recommend your doctor test for you and even the optimal reference ranges. So if they're testing just a TSH and your level is 3.5, and you have symptoms. Now, if you don't have symptoms, you know, that's why it's called a range. If you're not having any symptoms and you feel amazing and your TSH is 3.5, well, great. But if you're having a lot of symptoms and your TSH is 3.5, well, I would argue that you probably really do have some thyroid dysfunction. And then again, if all they did was the TSH, we don't know. Do you have thyroid antibodies showing that your body is attacking itself in an autoimmune disease? And we know those come out 5 years before the disease actually comes out. So I pick that up all the time in my practice, people who have antibodies, but their thyroid other labs look beautiful. But they're having symptoms already, like a woman's maybe already had two miscarriages or can't get pregnant.
Right. I'll tell you, I've seen more patients diagnosed with thyroid dysfunction and or thyroid cancer in the past 5 years than in my entire 27 years in practice. Why is thyroid disease so rampant? I've heard it blamed on cell phone radiation, microwave ovens, to chemicals in our food. Do we know why so many people have thyroid dysfunction?
Well, I think that there's two ways to look at it. There are, you know, our genetics haven't changed. I wrote, as you mentioned, the autoimmune solution. And in that book, I talked about how, you know, 25% of all autoimmunity comes from genetics and 75% is environmental factors. Now, most thyroid dysfunction is autoimmune in nature. So our genes haven't changed in the last, you know, 50 years. So what's changed? Our environment. So all chronic disease is up, right? How many people do you know that have cancer? How many people do you know have thyroid dysfunction? How many people do you know have autoimmunity? So our environment is to blame, and I discussed the five factors that I think really affect everybody with all chronic conditions, and then there are some very specific to the thyroid. So I'll address quickly what I think is the cause or rise in, frankly, all chronic disease, autoimmunity, thyroid dysfunction, and cancer, and that would be that we are eating diets that are genetically modified, they've been hybridized, they're sprayed with Roundup, we're eating heavily processed foods, non-organic foods, we have leaky guts, and I can go into that further if that's a new term for your community. We are being bombarded with toxins, radiation from cell phones being one of those, EMF. There's a whole list of others that I talk about in the book. Infections. There are a lot of infections that have been now linked to certain cancers, to certain autoimmune disease. They're very specific ones linked to thyroid dysfunction. And then we're living in a very stressed out world. We're stressed out beings, whether that's, you know, because we're concerned about our political state, because we have health issues, because we have financial issues, because we have cell phones and computers and technology available to take us anywhere in the world and to be on at all times. But we're, you know, those are the five factors. And then specifically to the thyroid, I mean, all of those relate to the thyroid. I would say what I'm also seeing is really when we look at iodine on the periodic table, there are other what are called halogens, or once they've become a negative ion charge, they're called a halide. And that's bromide, fluoride, and chloride. and we took iodine out of our salt. We are not eating an iodine-rich diet. And then we are bombarding our system through our water, through our food supply, through our furniture with flame retardants, in our baked goods, everywhere, these other halides, fluoride, bromide, and chloride. And what happens is our thyroid needs iodine to work, to make the hormone. It's where iodine is concentrated in our body, the organ that has the highest concentration. We've decreased the amount of iodine we're taking in our system, and we've increased all these other halides, and they're displacing them in the thyroid. And I do think that that is one of the biggest contributors specifically to thyroid cysts, thyroid nodules, thyroid cancer, and then, of course, hypothyroidism and hyperthyroidism, whether it's Graves or Hashimoto's.
Right. I know you talk a lot about food in your book, and so many people are turning to soy milk as an alternative to cow's milk. I'm curious. I've heard stuff about soy. What's your opinion? Is soy harmful to the thyroid?
Well, I think there's two problems with soy. One is that, yes, it can be considered what's called a goitrogen, which can disrupt the activity of the thyroid. And probably the larger problem with soy is that 90-something percent of it, if not almost all of it, is genetically modified. And that means it's been sprayed up with Roundup, and we know Roundup in and of itself is really a risk factor for leaky gut and causes leaky gut, which through the research of Dr. Alessio Fasano out of Harvard, the main researcher on leaky gut, says that you really need a leaky gut in order to, you know, for it to be the gateway for autoimmunity. And again, most thyroid dysfunction and even cancer now, it's thought that you need that leaky gut, and that that most thyroid dysfunction is autoimmune in nature.
I know a lot of people are hearing the word gut and they're saying, isn't that way down low? What does that have to do with the thyroid? Share how the gut relates to the thyroid gland.
Yeah, so the gut is really the gateway to all of your health. So anybody that isn't familiar with me, first of all, I was trained as a conventional physician and then did my residency in emergency medicine and then found functional medicine and did all my training through the Institute for Functional Medicine, which really looks to the root cause and looks at the body as a whole and everyone as an individual. And so what we know in functional medicine, what we've been talking about for years and years, is that the gut is really the gateway to all health, and it is the center of all health problems, even if you're not having digestive issues. And that is particularly when we are talking about the thyroid and autoimmunity, that our gut is one cell layer thick, and right below that one cell layer is our immune system, and 80% of our immune system sits in our gut. So I like to think of it like a drawbridge, the little teeny tiny boats, so the micronutrients that we are meant to get into our bloodstream, that's how we absorb our food, can get through. There are these things called tight junctions in our gut, like a drawbridge, and they automatically open a little bit to let all the good stuff through. That's how we absorb our food, digest and absorb. But when we bombard our system with having had a C-section, not getting breastfed, acid-blocking medications, antibiotics, birth control pills, various hormones, these tight junctions, and then food, stress, infections can cause these tight junctions to open up and stay open. And then what happens is larger particles, those larger boats, can get through the drawbridge that were never meant to get into our bloodstream. And that's how gluten gets in, casein from dairy. And what we know scientifically, there's a process called molecular mimicry, which is that the molecular structure of gluten, many different infections and viruses, look very similar to our own tissues, many of which look very similar to our thyroid tissue. So our immune system's right there. It goes on high alert when it sees the gluten or the Epstein-Barr or herpes virus and says, wait, that's not meant to be here. I'm going to attack it. And when it goes to attack it, it inadvertently attacks the thyroid because the tissues is what we call mistaken identity. The tissue and the molecule of gluten or the virus look so similar. And that's how the tissue gets destroyed, and we end up with autoimmunity. So the first step in reversing any autoimmune, which can be done, is to seal up or heal that leaky gut. And, of course, in the book, Thyroid Connection, I walk you through a program about how to heal your gut. And changing your diet is one of the first steps in healing your gut.
That's great. I'll tell you, I have so many patients having their thyroid surgically removed. Some are diagnosed with precancerous. It's just safe. Let's just cut it out. And some full-blown thyroid cancer. What's your opinion on so many thyroidectomies taking place? Is it necessary?
Well, I think, you know, there's been a lot of research recently that one of the cancers, I believe it was follicular, that they're now reclassifying it as not being a cancer at all. So I think anytime you can, you know, I had my thyroid ablated with iodine-131, radioactive iodine, because I knew no other choice. I've since Right. helped many people reverse their Graves' disease and spare the fate that I have. So I think, you know, if it is absolutely necessary, if you have Graves' disease or cancer and something needs to be cut out, that's a, you know, last resort. I certainly, one of the treatments for cancer is to have your thyroid ablated like I did. And I would certainly recommend surgery to people over that. Having some working thyroid is better than having no thyroid at all. But always, if we can spare a vital organ and have your own functioning organ, you know, it's a hormone-producing organ, and it's like, you know, the internet. When you're on the internet, all these signals are going out to all these different places, and more signals are coming back in, and then things are responding to that. That's what's happening in your body. It's not your endocrine system and your female hormones or male hormones and your blood sugar hormones and your stress hormones. All these things work together at one time, and they're constantly changing and adapting and signaling out signals and releasing more hormone or storing more hormone based on those signals. So like me, I have no thyroid. I have to take supplemental thyroid hormone every day. So I get one dose. It's like an insulin that gets, I mean, a diabetic that gets one dose of insulin a day and then has to kind of monitor their food rather than a pancreas that's secreting in response to what was eaten. So always having your own functioning gland, if you can, is preferred. And, you know, there are good things about conventional medicine that when something really needs to be done, you know, that is good. But I would certainly pick a partial thyroidectomy over thyroid ablation.
Yeah, you keep mentioning hormone, and then as I'm hearing that, I would imagine the worst type of food that we could eat would be ones that would have hormones in them. Wouldn't that really be like at public enemy number one, like hormones in beef?
Well, yes. I mean,
cow's milk or beef. I'm just wondering because I know there's a lot of, you know, hormones for the food that we eat.
Yes. So my program is somewhat similar to a paleo autoimmune protocol in that I do advocate eating lean, organic, pasture-raised meats, and then, of course, eating organic fruits and vegetables. I was a vegetarian for 27 years, so that was a difficult change for me, but it's a program that I feel has worked. But yes, you want to make sure that you're to the best of your ability, and I understand not everybody can afford or has available to them, but to the best of their ability, getting, you know, hormone-free, organically raised meats and vegetables, and as you're prioritizing, you know, if you don't have available to you or can't afford to get everything organic, the meat is where I prioritize it over vegetables because of all those hormones, and they're higher on the food chain. You also do need to think about these endocrine disruptors and hormone mimickers in beauty products for women. Well, not even just men. I mean, women. I mean, we think of beauty products like makeup, but also just shampoos and soaps and lotions and colognes for men, deodorant. And then, of course, in our plastics, even the receipt that you get when you go to the, you know, when you go to the store. So I talk about all this in the book, and I like to think, and the feedback that I get is that I give enough information for people to understand where the problems are and where they need to look out for it, but provide you with really easy, you know, easy to do solutions to these problems in the world. Cause none of us can live in a bubble. We want to engage in the world.
Why is there more females that have thyroid problems than males?
Well, you know, that's $1 million question or probably $1 billion or more dollar question. But we believe it is because, you know, you're correct that women are 5 to 8 times more likely to get thyroid dysfunction than men, and also 8 times more likely to get an autoimmune condition than men. And one of the thoughts is that it is hormonally related, particularly regarding the estrogen. So many autoimmune diseases and thyroid dysfunction come out around perimenopause, around menopause for women, around pregnancy, postpartum. And those are shifts when we're having fluctuations in our female hormones, particularly estrogen. And it's these quick either rises or falls in estrogen that seem to be one of the risk factors or, one of the risk factors for, like I said, both autoimmune dysfunction and thyroid dysfunction.
Right. That's great. Now, I want to make sure we get to this topic. It's interesting in your book. You talk about the lack of sleep can contribute to thyroid disorder. How does sleep aid in thyroid health?
So, again, it really goes back to all of those hormones being interconnected. So when we sleep, it's when we're obviously resting, we're restoring, right. We're repairing. Our cortisol goes low at night. When we're not sleeping, cortisol goes up. When cortisol goes up, it goes back to these hormones. Estrogen also goes up. When estrogen goes up, we bind more thyroid hormone. This is men and women. It's, again, why if you are someone who's on thyroid hormone and you get pregnant or you go on the birth control pill, then you typically need to increase the amount of the thyroid hormone, and that goes because that hormone is getting bound to proteins, and when the hormone's bound to proteins, we can't use them. It's the free hormones we care about. Of course, also, if we're not getting sleep, we're not resting, repairing, we're not detoxing, also that high cortisol can affect our blood sugars, which, again, can affect our cortisol. High cortisol over time, over a long period of time, can ultimately suppress our immune system. When our immune system's suppressed, we're more under attack for inflammation and ultimately autoimmunity.
That's great. Great info.
High cortisol can also create leaky gut as well.
It's all back full circle. Yeah, it's a big full circle. Interesting. Tell us, if someone has a thyroid condition, how can they find a doctor like you? They're hearing you, says, well, she's probably too far. How can they find someone that thinks outside the box that really grasps this concept?
Yes, so I would like to answer that question in both ways. I wrote this book because I want to reach as many people as possible. So the intention of writing this book was not for everybody to get on the plane to see me, but to actually work with your conventional physician. So we even have on my website a resource page where people can get labs, not through me, but through another company, if their doctor won't order their lab. So the intention is that you actually don't need to go find a special doctor, that you can work with your doctor. That is the point of the book. But if someone wants to find a doctor like myself, also in the book and on the resource section, there is the website for the Institute for Functional Medicine, which is functionalmedicine.org, and you can put in your zip code and find a functional medicine physician in your area if there is one. But the point of this book was to be able to do everything that you need to do. The program, everything is self-made right there in the book with all the recipes in 28 days, exactly what to do, letter to your doctor, very specific what labs to get, very specific what levels they should be at, and to work with your own doctor. I was very committed to having people have easy access to all of this in writing the book.
That's so great. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Byers. Great information. Folks, if you want to learn more or get your copy of The Thyroid Connection, go to amymyersmd.com. While you're there, check out her videos, blog articles, and be sure to sign up for her newsletter. She has tremendous online resources and tools available to help you with autoimmune and thyroid disorders. You can follow Dr. Myers on Twitter at @AmyMyersMD, and for my daily health tweets, follow me at Dr. David Friedman. You can stay up to date with all of our latest health and wellness segments at toyourgoodhealthradio.com, iHeartRadio, or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. While you're there, hey, give us a review and share your suggestions for future segments. Stay well and stay tuned.